The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Today, a question about the relationship of dispensationalism to free grace. Do all who hold a dispensational view of the Bible also embrace free grace theology? Let's talk about it coming up here on Grace in Focus. We're delighted that you've joined us today, friend. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas and we have a website, faithalone.org. Lots to learn about us there. And we would also love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. There we have short videos that are released 2 to 3 times a week. We think you will love them and benefit from them. That's YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. And now with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
Sam, you've been with us for what, about 6-7 months now?
I think almost 7 full months.
Sam's from Georgia, went to a military college in Georgia. You're wearing a military outfit, but it's for the Minnesota Vikings. I don't understand how that works, but I like the flag, the American flag on the sleeve. That's good. Well, you've been keeping up with questions, and you've received quite a few, right?
Yeah, we've got a lot, and we're behind, so I'm sorry.
And you've got one on the subject of our conference, which is May 19 through 22. So what's your question on dispensationalism, and who's it from?
Yep, our question's from Scott on dispensationalism, and it's related to a recent blog that you wrote on dispensationalism. So he's asking, Bob, you made the comment that if you are free grace, you're probably also dispensational, whether you know it or not. Isn't it true that there's no theological reason that free grace and dispensationalism need to coexist? And then he also asks about the same for eschatology. Do you need to have a dispensational view to have a clear view of eschatology?
Okay, so no, it's not necessary that you be a dispensationalist in order to be clear on the free gift of eternal life. I've even known people who were 5-point Calvinists. Now, they were kind of leaky 5-point Calvinists, but I've known 5-point Calvinists who believed in covenant theology, which is not dispensationalism, and yet they believed that by faith in Christ, they were secure forever, and they were not in any way dispensationalists, and they didn't believe they had to persevere in order to stay born again or prove they were born again, or in modern Calvinist jargon, it's to win final salvation. They didn't think that way. So there are such people, and there are lots of people in Arminian circles that don't know covenant theology, dispensational theology. They've never heard any of these terms, right? And they don't know much about eschatology. Maybe they've read some of the Left Behind books or seen some of the Left Behind movies, and maybe they've believed in the rapture, maybe they haven't. But in order to believe John 3:16, you need to believe John 3:16. You don't have to believe in the pre-trib rapture to believe in John 3:16. You don't need to believe in the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, in order to believe John 3:16. You don't need to believe in the new earth, which follows the millennium, in order to believe John 3:16. All you have to believe is that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will never perish, but has everlasting life, which is irrevocable. Once you believe that, you have it. And so in terms of Scott's follow-up question about eschatology in general, you don't have to believe the entire eschatological scheme correctly. You do have to believe that there's something coming after this life. In other words, if you believe that Jesus has given you everlasting life that lasts until you die, then you don't believe he's given you everlasting life. You right. have to believe that this goes on forever and that there is a coming kingdom. But you don't need to have all the details of this coming life after death. And I would suppose, because, you know, verses like John 3:16 don't say anything about the kingdom, and there's lots of verses like that, I would suppose that a person might not even have any kind of a grasp of the coming kingdom. They would just have this general thought that I know that I'm going to live forever with Jesus, I'm going to be with him forever, and I'll be with all the other people who believe in Jesus because they know John 3:16. is true of anyone who believes in Jesus, mom, dad, brother, sister, anyone. And so they know they'll be with other people. But aren't there a lot of people, Sam, don't you think, that don't think of a coming kingdom? They think of heaven.
Right. And that's kind of how I was, especially as a kid. And I think a lot of people, when you're young, you don't really think about the new earth, the, you know, coming kingdom, everything in between. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're along for the ride. We don't get much say in what Christ is going to do when he comes. So you either educate yourself on it or you just let it be a surprise, I guess. So it's kind of a roller coaster ride.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
I have another question as a follow-up to this. Can you believe in what is contained in the book of Revelation if you don't believe that there are at least two dispensations, everything before the second coming of Christ and then everything after? In my view, I don't understand how you cannot view there being different dispensations when you read the book of Revelation, because it's clearly very different than the way things are done now and when Jesus was on the earth.
Right. Well, it seems to me you can't read the Bible without seeing multiple dispensations. A dispensation is an administration. It's a time in which there are various laws in place that are different than the laws in place in a previous administration or dispensation. So, for example, in the Garden of Eden, there weren't a whole lot of commandments. They were to be fruitful, they were to multiply, they were to fill the earth, they were to tend the garden, and they weren't to eat. There was one negative command: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
That's about it. But after the Garden of Eden, okay, now in dispensationalism, that's typically called the Age of Conscience. They had still the command to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. They were to work by the sweat of their brow in order to meet their needs, etc. And they had certain understandings based on conscience, like killing one another. When Cain kills Abel, he knew that what he was doing was wrong, even though there was no specific commandment that was articulated that we know of. But by the time we get to the flood, after the flood, now we have specific commandments that increase. And by the time we get to the law of Moses, there's new laws in place. Now there are forbidden degrees of kinship for marriage that didn't exist before. And there's a whole lot of laws. Some say 613. A mutual friend of ours, Ken Pierce, he was wearing a shirt the other day that said 613. And I'm like, what's 613? That's the number of Old Testament commandments. Well, I've never counted them, so I'll take his word for it. But the truth is, yeah, a person might not grasp much of what's to come. And if a person is thinking in terms of heaven, yeah, they'll be shocked when they find out that that's not where we're going. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, but then we're going with him to earth at the end of the tribulation, and we're with him on earth for 1,000 years. And then from there, we go to the new earth forever, and we're not going to live in the third heaven. So am I nailing down what you're asking?
We answered his question a little bit ago, but I think the other thing that you wanted to cover was, why is there a connection between free grace and dispensational? If it's not required, why does it seem that way?
Okay, so in my estimation, understanding prophecy and understanding the future is vital to our sanctification, to our Christian growth. It's not vital to our new birth. So I think there's three major reasons why dispensationalism and free grace are kin, why they're closely aligned. First of all, John Nelson Darby in the 1800s, around 1830, he popularized dispensationalism. He didn't create it. The apostles all taught dispensationalism.
Right.
The Old Testament prophets taught dispensationalism. The Bible has taught dispensationalism from the beginning. But until John Nelson Darby, it wasn't systematized. I have a book that's actually coming tomorrow called Dispensationalism Before Darby, and it argues that for at least 200 years before Darby, dispensationalism was being taught. And I would argue that dispensationalism has been taught from the very beginning. We just don't have the records. And so that's one reason is John Nelson Darby held to the clarity of the free grace position that we're born again by faith in Christ apart from works, and he popularized dispensationalism, so the two tend to be linked. But there's a second reason. One of the key aspects of dispensationalism is the idea of eternal rewards, that God gives out special rewards to believers who persevere, to believers who are faithful. And dispensationalism separates perseverance from eternal security. Whereas Calvinism says you must persevere in order to either prove you're genuinely saved or in order to win final salvation, as some new Calvinists say. Right. And Arminianism says you have to persevere to keep your salvation. But dispensationalism says no, perseverance is an eternal rewards position. And there's a third reason, and that is the chastising ministry of God. Dispensationalism teaches that there are many texts in the Bible that says if we walk in rebellion against the Lord, then we're going to reap curses in this life. Not eternal condemnation, but curses in this life. Whereas non-dispensationalists look at some of those same passages and say, no, no, that's talking about the lake of fire. That's talking about eternal condemnation.
And that's one of the big points in free grace, that this is talking about judgment, not eternal condemnation.
Yeah, make yourselves familiar with our website, faithalone.org. We have literally thousands of free articles on our website dealing with issues related to eternal rewards, the chastising ministry of God, the millennium, the eternal state, the free gift of eternal life, repentance as an issue related to experiencing fullness of life, but not a condition of the new birth. Go to our website, faithalone.org, and you'll find lots and lots of articles. And Scott, thanks so much for your question. It's a terrific one. And if you're not able to attend our May 19 through 22 conference, check it out on our YouTube channel, YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. We'll be live streaming it. Just click on the live section. Well, thanks so much. And Sam, let's keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, in Ephesians 6, the Armor of God passage, to what does the gospel of peace refer? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.